Yeah, let's give it up for Liquid IV.
Yeah.com,
baby. Promo code Nooners over there is going to get you 20% off your first order. Rage this weekend, jobless on accident. I feel like it was an accidental rage this weekend.
Yeah.
And I needed some Liquid IV to start off the day. I start every day with a Liquid IV. Our kids are using Liquid IV.
Yes.
They've got the new and improved sugar-free Liquid IVs as well. And Pear is back. Pear is back. That's my favorite. Pear was my favorite there. Big fan. But hanging out, watching sports, hanging out with the friends and all that other stuff. You start boozing, you lose track of time, and then you're like, oh, shit. I need to rehydrate for the week. Got to pop in that Liquid IV. Are you a daily girl? Because I don't see you every single morning all the time.
Yeah, I'm a daily girl. So I do one of the sugar-free grapes or the sugar-free apple, which are my new faves, in 24 ounces.
Okay.
So it is supposed to be just in, they say, like, put a packet in 16 ounces.
16 ounces of water.
And that's going to hydrate you double. I put in the 24 ounce, maybe onesie or twosie.
Yeah.
And go through the day.
Yeah,
it's life changing.
I call it Hydration Monday here on the show because it's one of those things where, again, you go hard over the weekends, you got the kids, you're not eating great, you're boozing with some friends or whatever, and then boom, reset on Mondays, pop in the Liquid IV and you're good to go. But it's a little pouch. That's it. You're ripping open, popping into liquid, 16 ounces or more. And you're good to go. Super easy there. Three times the electrolytes. No artificial sweeteners. 8 vitamins and nutrients. Non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Weekends are for going wild. Have a game plan for Monday with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
I am a hero. Please watch me fly. I am a hero. Please, I'll never die.
That sounds like the Asian guy,
though. It's not the Asian guy, James. It's not the Asian guy.
I am a hero.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I feel like a little hero and I deserve a song. And I know I'm not getting that song out of you, you know?
No. No, 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 no.
Yeah, so sometimes I wish there was a tiny Asian man that was inside my studio.
Sure.
Who would just sing to me, I am a hero. But in my voice, and I obviously want him to look like me, so I want his haircut like me, the whole shit. But,
okay.
It's me.
Just a mini Asian you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exciting times going on here. Studio's almost done. Almost done being built. We're going to have live shows here coming up in July next week.
Oh, yeah.
Super stoked about it, Jabes. You did a great job. This place looks amazing.
Thanks, man. I mean, we'll leave it up to the people, but I think... The people.
Are you putting up... A lot of people have been asking, are you putting up serial killers behind you?
I'm putting up...
For the live show?
I'm putting up everything that I love and hold dear. And a lot of those things are cult leaders, serial killers.
Yeah.
Unsolved crimes.
Yeah, okay.
And then just like sprinkled in weird movies like Frankie and Johnny, A Picture of Dolly Parton. You know, just like it's a wall of things that I love.
Right. Right.
And I know it's weird that it's mostly serial killers.
Frankie and Johnny is who you want? That's who you want up there, huh?
I love Frankie and Johnny.
Oh,
I love
Isn't that Pacino?
It's Pacino and Pfeiffer. Now listen, that is a good movie. Have you seen it in a while, or you just hated it from the beginning, or?
I don't think people have seen it for close to 30 years.
Oh my God, if you know, you know.
Boy. With Frankie and Johnny.
Yes.
Weren't they working in a diner in New York, if I wasn't mistaken, or New Jersey?
Oh, yes. And it is so, it's a very depressing.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's just them fighting it out and like getting, you know, like they're so not supposed to be together. So tragic.
Yeah, it's one of those films that feels too close to real life. I hate movies like that.
I know,
that feel
you do.
Too close to real you life do. Where you're just like, oh God. Why would I want to watch somebody else's awful relationship for
a bit of
hour
like Greenberg or something?
Yeah.
Like you die.
Oh, I can't stand it. I don't like watching people's personal relationships melt down in public either, or at parties or functions where you're just like, oh fuck.
Oh gosh. No. Yeah.
There is no way I would want to spend money to sit in a theater and watch that type of fucking bullshit. Like if I wanted real life nightmares, you know, I'd take fucking sativa or something right before bed. Or
sure, yeah. Or like, what'd you make me do one time?
What's the wait? But they always say this thing with weed. It's like, oh, is that an indica or a sativa?
Sure,
because it's if it's one or the other, you're not going to be able to sleep. Whatever it is,
the indica you can't sleep, right? Because sativa.
I don't know. It's such bullshit. Okay. I have no idea.
Yeah, it all makes me not feel great.
Tired. So,
you made me smoke a little weed and watch, what was it? Is it Platoon? What is the one that you made me watch? That's like
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, Apocalypse Now.
And I don't smoke weed. So this was a like, let's have a bit of fun tonight.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And I thought, all right.
Yeah.
I'll watch a movie with you. It's just you and me. I don't have to worry about any social interactions that are going to go wrong. And you annihilated my mind. Now, was that on purpose? Did you think it was funny to do that or what?
I really wanted you to get into the film to really enjoy Apocalypse Now. Redux, the 20-year anniversary or whatever the fuck it was.
Sure.
Which is an incredible film, by the way.
Right.
Boy, even just thinking about that movie now, they just don't make shit like that at all anymore.
They really don't.
That was incredible.
Yeah, but that was not nice. So that was, needless to say, the last time that I tried
marijuana.
To have a good time.
Yeah, well, James.
On marijuana.
Marijuana. We got a big show, so we're going to hop into the sponsors real quick and then get nasty because this is an action-packed show. First and foremost, talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee. They make it straight in the warehouse, and then they bag it up straight to you, which is just rad, Jabes. They don't rebag that shit. They make it fresh. You can get bags, K-cups. Their apparel is top-notch and second to none. With the promo code one-time use of Revolution, you get 20% off. They're also running like a 4th of July special for 10% off, which is incredible. Amazing. I'm choked up thinking about it.
Oh my God.
I'm actually killing some Black Rifle coffee right now. We're super early in the morning here. I could fly out. I got a flight here in a couple hours, Jabes.
Do you? What time's your flight?
I don't know. Like noon, maybe.
Oh my gosh. A nooner, huh?
Yeah, it's an old nooner.
Ooh, that's a dicey time.
We don't record that much at 8 in the morning.
No, we don't.
As per the night owl over here.
As per usual, you wake up at 8 in the morning. Nothing's happened yet at 8 in the morning.
That's true.
Nobody's dead.
That's true, unless something crazy happened the night before.
Yeah,
like,
nobody's dead, really? Nobody's dying.
Yeah.
And when you're up as late as I am, I know nothing happened the night before, so it's just like me waking up to nonsense today. It was just like, yeah.
Sure.
Nobody dies till like 10 a.m. on Pacific Coast time. That's where people usually die.
Yeah. What will Bourdain? We woke up to it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Eight? I woke you up way too early with the Bourdain thing.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been Paris time.
It was Paris time. Yeah. There you go. There you go, Jabes.
shut up. Can you carry on, please? Jeez.
That Paris time will get you, won't it?
Carry
It'll
on.
Get you every time.
I'm sorry. I'm on Paris time. You really must go. It's gorgeous.
Speaking of Paris time, get yourself and your mind on Paris time. Go ahead and pick up a copy of my new novel, Night She Cries. No, it's the sequel to Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. It's When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. This is why I should never do 8 a.m. shows. Ever.
You were going hard with that person. At night. Ever. She, whoa.
Well, you know.
Listen, both.
8 a.m. is...
They're both available.
Fucking horrid.
They're both available.
When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It is the sequel to At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. It's the funniest book ever written. And there is no debating that anymore. I talked about it last night with the Drinking Brothers, my other show, the Drinking Bros podcast. What makes this one funnier than the other one? I didn't have any restrictions or rules, and I didn't have to report to fucking editors of the man, because there's no fucking way they would have let this go down. So we're currently 2,100 copies shy of the New York Times bestseller list. We're about 38 days out. This is important, kids, because I need all of those pre-sales. They all count toward opening week numbers to get on the New York Times bestseller list. So please buy that shit now. After the first week, the numbers revert back to zero and you have to start all over again. And it only goes by the week. So this is the only time that I'll be able to do it. Please, please go out and pre-order a copy of When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all the .coms. I recommend Amazon, though. They're doing one-day shipping with the book, which is fucking sweet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you're getting this fucker the next day, which is really cool of them. So shout out to Amazon. Next up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Boom, 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 shabloinkers.
Shablanks. Blank, blank, blank.
Shooting blanks.
Strikeforce Energy is the premier energy drink in all of the biz. They're doing it right. Man, did I tell you Sean Mattson was in Forbes?
No.
Yeah, he was in fucking Forbes yesterday. Strikeforce, they did a whole piece on Strikeforce disrupting the energy drink market. And man, it's fucking awesome to see. I've been riding with these guys for about 3 years now. And I'm not lying. Their product really is superior to all the other energy drinks. They just need more marketing, man. That's it. Like that's the only thing those guys are missing, is they need more money to market, but it's impossible. Like if you look at the numbers, I was studying Red Bull's company the other day, and I'll be full disclosure here. I started off a Red Bull guy because that was my first introduction to energy drinks as a whole. I don't know if that was the same way with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to fucking, you know, move to LA, and that was my go-to in the morning because I still wasn't a big coffee guy back then. So I would get like a sugar-free Red Bull to start the day. And
oof.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that seem weird to you now? Like, kind of like, oh God.
Not.
Can you imagine?
Not necessarily. I don't like the heaviness of it, which is why I like the Strikeforce. But I noticed that the deal with Red Bull was as they were everywhere. Every fucking party I went to, everything.
Oh, yeah. Those cars.
Dude, they still have those cars. They still do videos and all the shit. The money they dump, I looked at it, and this is what I was getting to. I looked at it. You know, 70% of the money they make goes right back into marketing.
It has to. Like, there's no way. I mean, there is a Red Bull, booth or,
some kind
same
of
with
like
Monster.
Dispenser.
Same with Monster.
Yeah. Monster's kind of everywhere.
And the reason I'm telling you guys this story is it's the same with Strike Force, man. If Strike Force had, and look, they're just a few dudes working over there. If they had that kind of money, they'd be big, as big as Red Bull, or if not bigger, because they have a superior product. So to see that these guys are finally starting to get recognized in Forbes and all this shit, like, I'm stoked because this product's been great for a long time. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Try one of their four tasty flavors. Talking about a Ridge, Lemon, Orange, and Make America Grape Again. The packs are only 99 cents. Grab a 10-pack. Tell me what you think of it. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the one-time promo code. No, this promo code's good every time there for a revolution of 20% off at
nice.
Strikeforce. Yeah. 8 a.m., Jabes. This is a real fucking kick in the dick.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a real fun, kooky, quirky.
I hope so. StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off every time. And they ship everywhere in the entire world. They do. Last but not least, talking about StraightRazors.com.
That's a clean cut. Smooth. Oh, you like it?
Oh, boy.
They really liked the last one.
Yeah.
People really seem to like that scat porn one.
Yeah, they really sent their love for that.
They really sent their love.
Somebody wrote in, they were like, man, I almost thought that the entire episode was going to be about scat porn, and that was going to be a little too much for my Monday
morning
commute.
It's going to be a bit much. Yeah, and I felt that too, yeah, as we were talking about it. And the fun thing was just like trying to backpedal. You know when you're like trying to explain how you're like not crazy and it makes you sound crazy?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not into it. Like, I promise I'm not into it. And the more I'm like saying it, the more people are like, I think she might be into it.
Yeah, people are at home just picturing your face smashed up against a glass coffee table.
But we learned something.
You want to tell the audience what that is?
So that if you're pooping on top of the glass table, which I was saying,
while a human is
underneath watching it all happen, that's called a glass bottom boat. I'm sorry, Straight Razors. Now this is smack dab right in the middle of your ad. First it's Deb, then it's Dale, then it's this shit.
Literally.
But for Straight Razors. The product's so good that we can talk about whatever, right?
We
and smack down.
Yeah, they really do have the best like razors and shit on the planet. The old glass bottom.
Because it made me be like, oh my gosh, remember just glass bottom boats in general?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How that was like a real feature on a vacay.
Oh yeah. Now all you're gonna think of is somebody fucking dumping out on top of a human with their face smashed against the glass. Oh, is that a glass bottom boat? If we walked into a dinner party, by the way, and we saw that going on and we didn't know I'd be like, oh, you guys are glass bottom boating each other.
Oh, yeah. It would feel good that I knew the lingo.
Yeah.
And I'd feel right at home.
Sure would, James. You sure would. You're simply the best. So is Straight Razors. Straight Razors is simply the best. They've got the finest shaving equipment on the planet. Their aftershave, I use it every fucking morning. Smolder. And their cologne, I love Smolder. They got beard oils, mustache waxes, shampoos, conditioners. And if you're worried about using a Straight Razor, don't be. They get a safety razor. And this shit ain't the Dollar Shave Club, Holmes. This is for real, hombres. Go to straightrazors.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Yeah. Big show. I want to start at the top of it by saying I did an interview late last night, which is why I was up late last night. Did an interview for our sister show, Drinking Bros Podcast, late last night with Vincent Rocco Vargas. You know him. You love him. He was obviously one of the OG founders of Drinking Bros and has now moved on to an incredibly successful Hollywood career. And he's currently shooting The Mayans in Los Angeles. As I've been talking about on this show for the last few episodes in the with the immigration and border crisis, I said, hey, I'm going to try to get a border patrol agent on the phone and try to explain what's actually going on there. About four or five agents who listened to the show hit me up, and they were interested in doing it. They ended up backing out due to the current political climate and for fear of losing their jobs. And I said, hey, man, look, this show is awesome, and I think it's life-changing and important, but it is definitely not important enough for you to lose your job.
Absolutely.
Over. So I'm not one of those assholes who's just going to do it for the fucking interview and try to get it done. But I felt that it was important to do a show and talk about it. Because if you're going to talk shit about a certain subject, try to learn as much as you can about it. And that happened last night. Rocco was in the Border Patrol for many years. And he posted a video on his Facebook page, on the Vincent Rocco Vargas page on Facebook. And it was about a 3 to 4 minute video about him explaining the system and what it was like and all of that shit. And it was really thoughtful, and it had nothing to do with politics. It was simply policies and laws that were enacted and what he had to deal with. And he was working during the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night, he agreed to come on and do Drinking Bros. And we did a full hour show on it, of what really goes on at the border. And it was crazy. So it was absolutely crazy. So tune into tomorrow's Drinking Bros podcast and listen to that. Maybe we'll do a crossover and put it on here as
Yeah, because we were talking about it a lot as well, and didn't really know like what exactly was going on down there.
Exactly.
Just like anyone else, but we want to know.
So maybe we'll cross it over and rerun it next week, because it is unbelievably fascinating. And again, you'll get to hear that this has been going on for a long time, and what the conditions were like, and what the conditions these guys are under as far as ICE and the Border Patrol and all that shit. And it's like, man, it is really hard to fault these guys. You know, I look at them the same way as I look at the men and women in blue. Like, you can't shit on these guys for trying to do their job, and it is an incredibly difficult job. And Rocco really drives it home of what they actually go through on a day-to-day basis, and it was unbelievably fascinating. So we'll cross that over next week, and it'll be on Drinking Bros tomorrow. With that being said, I've shit on celebrities who were on Twitter, on social media, talking shit about immigration and these families getting ripped apart and fucking these fake tears and showing, you know, old photos from 2014 from when their president was in office and all of that shit. And I said, hey, if you're going to fucking talk shit about it, go down to the fucking border. If you're that concerned, go down to the fucking border and see what's going on, or help out, or do what you can. And then your voice becomes important. Otherwise, you're just on Twitter like a fucking asshole. Same with me.
In your gated community or your whatever.
Exactly.
You're just like, yeah.
And look, it's the same with me. If I didn't actively seek out these people and try to be more informed, I'm just the same asshole who's talking shit. So I did something about it. It was weird. Did I have to catch Rocco in a parking lot of an AT&T cell phone place in Los Angeles last night to do this interview? You bet I did.
Sure. Sure.
But I wanted to get it done because it's important, and I want to be more knowledgeable about the subject.
You're real AC 360.
You bet I am.
You're in the eye of the storm.
I'm the new Anderson Cooper. I'm out there. I'm pounding the streets. But tonight, I do want to spotlight celebrities who have actually gone down there. One of them, this is gonna be a shock to you guys.
Okay.
This is gonna hurt your soul as much as it hurts mine. Because I hate this person. And today I can't hate her.
Right.
I can't hate her. Again, it's fine to talk shit, but when somebody is actually doing good or attempting to learn more about a subject, you can't talk shit about them. And this the first person is Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
probably my... would you say that's my number one hated celebrity? Probably.
That's your... In action movies or what? Where they have a nemesis?
Yeah.
Where it's just like the exact opposite of everything you stand for, and they just like, you know? That's your nemesis. And that delicate little flower... that white little snowflake from privileged New York took a plane.
Yeah.
She put on a bandana around her neck.
She did.
No, but she really did. She like took a bunch of celebs with her. She went
down to the border and, they protested, they had signs, and they were, you know, they brought a camera crew. They were actively asking what's going on. And, I have zero problem with that. That shows that you're at least trying to do something and you're trying to understand what's going on. And, you know, you take the Judd Apatows and the fucking, Steve Levitans and the Paul Feigs who are like, I'm not going to work for Fox because Fox News is showing this footage. Fuck off. Again, that does nothing. What Lena Dunham did was actually drop whatever the fuck she was doing because, like it or not, she's extremely busy. She's got a new show that's coming out on HBO. She wrote it, produced it, the whole shit.
Oh, yeah.
She's extremely busy. So to get up and leave during the middle of all of her bullshit, you know, she was probably going to a fabric store that day also and looking for some 1940s clothes.
Sure.
Or, you know, that were $5,000 a piece.
Right. Or some vintage jewelry at a flea market.
Exactly. She stopped all that. She stopped her production schedule and went down to the border. I want to name the other people who were there as well. Amber Heard. That's a shocking one to me.
Why?
She's
not too busy right now.
She kind of is.
She seems like she's got some time on her hands, to be completely honest. But no, yeah.
She keeps popping up in big movies. Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And plus she was dating Elon Musk for a while.
She was?
Oh, yeah. She went from Johnny Depp to Elon Musk. I know that relationship is over with Elon Musk now, but...
Yeah, because he's with some weirdo now.
Well, he's...
Some little weirdo.
He's losing his mind.
Or is he?
No.
Amber Heard to some other, like, young little pop star weirdo?
No, just in general. Yeah. They're having some serious problems at Tesla. And
well, he was bound to go the mad scientist route, right? I mean,
that's what he is, man.
Smart.
Yes. Yeah.
Something has to give,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you start growing your hair all weird and...
Yeah, he, you know, I told you about that short little doc piece I saw on him where they caught him in the middle of a mental breakdown and he was crying in his office.
Yeah.
And the guy's too genius for this world.
Yeah.
But Amber Heard was there. Mira Sorvino was there. Sia.
Okay.
I wonder if she actually saw anything or if her hair was in front of her face, but,
yeah, no, you saw her face.
Did you really?
Oh yes.
How was it?
We know how Sia's face is, right? You guys have seen it. There was one album, remember, where she had like, she was like drawing like with crayons or whatever, you know, she's a lady.
Yeah, yeah.
She's definitely all the things that a lady is.
Nailed it, James. Nailed
she
it.
She has eyes and nose and lips and all those things.
And tits.
No. She's cute, but like covering her face was probably the best
idea she's ever had.
Not because it's ugly, but it just makes her so much like cooler and hotter. And so you're like, oh, I forgot how she looked. Like, what does she look like under there?
Yeah.
Because with that voice.
I have no idea. Yeah.
If you just hear the voice, shit.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. Joshua Jackson was there.
Okay.
From
I like that I'm just like judging everyone.
Yeah,
like
you
say the name and I'm like, oh, she's ugly. Okay, go ahead.
You are. I don't know.
He had a drinking problem, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, did he ever. Told that story the other day.
When you're sober, you know, you got to find stuff to do. So he's down.
Is he sober now?
I think he's sober now.
Ugh.
I think that's the deal. I think that's how
Yeah. Good on him. But the last two were Anna Camp and Skylar Austin. I don't know who those people are, but the fact that they went and they are trying to understand.
Oh, it's the Pitch Perfect couple. You know them, right?
Pitch Perfect. Oh, yeah.
The, like, guy that's, like, not gay, but he, like, really should be, and he's married to the other girl.
Yeah.
Or, like, a musical couple.
So they were there, and look, you cannot be angry about that. Trying to help out or trying to understand and learn, good on them. And again, like, I'll spotlight them and say their names out loud, because it's not coming from Seth MacFarlane or Judd Apatow.
No.
Paul Feig or Steve Levitan. Because let's face it, Steve Levitan is richer than Jesus. He's created shows for 20 years. He's been on the air for 20 years.
Yeah.
That guy's got at least close to $500 million, if not more, money. You could take a couple of days off and go down there if you really wanted to.
Yeah. And I think she raised money or donated a bunch of money as well. So, like,
Lena Dunham did?
Yeah. Like, to reuniting families. I don't know where exactly that fund goes, but that's what they're doing now. So it's about.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, man, like, to them, and you know me, like, I would not ever pick out Lena Dunham and praise her ever in a million years, like, if I didn't think it was important, because this is important. If you're going to talk shit on somebody, talk about people when they do good as well. And this is a great thing that they went down there for their cause.
And so, I think our main thing is, like, hypocrisy, where we just don't like you to sit up in your mansion and, you know, pretend to know what it's like to be a real person with real problems, or anyone trying to solve anything, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, if you're going to just put your money where your mouth is, no matter what your cause may be, you got to respect that.
Absolutely. And I could have chosen the other route of just not talking about them at all. People might know they didn't do this or not existed. And no, that's not right. Like, again, you can't talk shit and be a hypocrite about it. Like, good on them. You know, cause then you have the opposite situation, which is, what's going on. You know, we talked about that Red Hen restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, you have a celebrity like John Legend, who, Jesus Christ, talked about him before, Snooze Fest. I would play one of his songs right now, but you would fall asleep and probably crash your car.
Yeah.
All of me, all of you.
Talking about his hilarious wife, Chrissy Teigen.
I wonder if he records all of his music in a dentist office instead of, like, a studio. Because that's your demographic right there. So, like,
yeah.
Do you just record inside the dental?
Just so you, like, can, like, get the feeling and, like, see how people are really, if they start moving at all, he takes it down. Do you know what I mean? So he's just like, he'll watch people. And if they start to get into it, nope, slow it down. They're dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they look like they're having a good time.
So he chimed in from this Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting thrown out of the restaurant the other day. And he said, why don't you stop separating people from families and we'll let you eat wherever the fuck you want. Ugh. That was his exact quote.
We.
Yeah.
Oh, John.
I'm sorry.
We.
We? Who is we?
He's so delusional. He thinks he runs every restaurant now.
I've never seen
when you live
like
up
it.
On the hill behind the gates, you get real delusional.
Ask me this. Ask me how tall John Legend's wall is around his house. It's 8 feet. I can tell you it's an 8 foot
that
wall.
Is a tall. It doesn't seem like it, but really it is tall.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I'm 6'3". I'd have a hard time getting over it because it's brick.
Because you've tried.
There's no grasp there. You can't get a toe in. Yeah. You can't get a toe in. It is not conducive for border jumpers like myself to try to get into rich Beverly Hills neighborhoods.
Stop separating us from your infinity pool, John Legend. Okay, it's not fair. I just want to be in there. I'm seeking asylum from Los Feliz. It's dangerous.
That's exactly what it is. So it's like, man, you're sending out these tweets from, like, literally the
your compound.
the exact shit you're protesting against. We're like, no, no wall. We don't
keep
want
us
any
all together.
Security. Keep us all together. This is unfair. Also, I definitely have an 8-foot brick wall around my
and
entire
his,
mansion.
His kids aren't school age yet. So
no,
like,
they will be.
They will be. Real and soon. He'll have to segregate them.
Yep.
From the Los Feliz kids, from the Echo Park kids.
Yeah, you want to ask where they're going? They'll be going to that all-white private school that $45,000 a year starting in preschool.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell me how that is on day one of that? When you walk in and they hand your two-year-old an iPad because you've paid $45,000 a year for their pre-K education.
And
why don't
again,
you tell me how your real problems are.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not like rich shaming or anything, but
me
it's
neither.
Just like.
But you can't talk shit when you're. That's what you're
doing.
And
you can't
doing.
Say we will let yeah. you eat. Like, you're not down. You're not there.
Yeah.
You're not in Virginia ever. And if you were, you wouldn't be eating there even.
Yeah.
So what do you mean we will let you?
Yeah. Because like, look.
That just feels very weird.
By the way, for us, like. As well, if you want to know our story, here's our story. We don't live in a gated community. We don't have a fence around our house. Our child doesn't go to private school.
Right.
This is real shit. Why? Because I feel safe in my neighborhood. I feel safe in America. I don't need a fucking 8-foot wall around my house.
Right. If we still lived in LA, that would not be the case.
Exactly. Because it's... To me, overrun with immigration, and it's fucking dangerous, man. I got robbed 3 times in LA. Once I got my car stolen. I've gotten 3 different cars stolen in LA. I've been robbed 3 different times at 3 different locations. Like I've lived in actually none of those were shitty neighborhoods that I lived in when I got robbed 3 times.
No, and we never did live in like shitty. It was hipster.
You're right. Yeah.
Some of them, but it was never like, you know, down and dirty.
Yeah. So that city's full of fucking crime, and it's cool. This is what happens when you live where there's no laws anymore.
Right. I was a victim of car sleepers. 3 times.
Somebody slept in your car?
Yeah. Did you ever have that?
No.
You probably had locks on your doors that worked.
Yeah.
So I had like a couple different cars.
Sort of. The first car that got stolen, they robbed a bunch of places in my apartment building. And then I get to watch the footage the next day. They just walked through the garage, clicking all of the keyless entry remotes that fucking beep, 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 beep.
Right.
Mine lit up first. It was in the spot that was facing outward. And I physically watched them steal my car.
That's a lot of effort for that. But so I would go out to my car. I worked at a Starbucks. And
a little barista.
Doing good. That, back in the day when
a
it was
little,
like
a barista.
The minimum wage was high. You got benefits. Tips were great.
You
anyway,
bet.
Again, not gonna brag.
Sure.
But I would go out to my car. When you open, you have to leave at like 4 a.m. And I would open the door and boom, there's just a Mexican, looks like some kind of, you know, manual labor, just sleeping in my front seat.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Dark, and it's dark, and I'm by myself. So I was just
What time is this?
4 a.m.
Shit. What do you do? What'd you do?
What do I do? You like almost the first time I was just like, ah, but then it like startles them and you're like, oh fuck. And like, then you think that you're going to get in some kind of fight and they literally just get up and run away. They're not trying to like steal anything. They're literally just sleeping.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. And it happened 3 times. So I knew the other times to just be like quietly like, hey, gotta go kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you gotta get the fuck out of here.
Because screaming, you know, when you're woken up by a scream, you might hit or kick or punch or something like
sure,
that.
Sure,
sure. So, yeah. And so we decided to leave.
No, when we had a child, we decided to get out of Los Angeles for the exact reason of like, hey, I want to go back to normal America. Where, you know, you can raise a child, then go to... I went to a public school growing up. You did, too.
Me, too.
We had a normal life. No no fences, no no borders around our house, walls, no nothing. So we wanted our kid to have the same experience in life. I'll commute back and forth to LA for whatever the fuck I have to do movie wise.
And unfortunately, like the small town that I grew up in north of LA that you still can go to public school, the property tax and property
it's crazy.
It's to a level that it's impossible to live.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would have done that too, but we just wanted, we needed to do something about it. Instead of talk shit or whatever, we just figured it out.
So with all that, we practice what we preach. Like this is what we do. This is our life. And this is why, whereas somebody like John Legend and Chrissy Teigen are just tweeting from behind their huge wall in their mansion. And it's just like, oh God, this is so crazy. This is all so crazy. I can't. And they weren't down at the fucking border. Like go down with Lena Dunham and them, you know, really fucking do something.
Yeah.
So it's all such a fucking crock of shit. And then Maxine Waters, that's that fucking nightmare. That she's the older black woman from one of the reps from California.
Okay.
She wants to run for president.
Sure.
They definitely do not want her to run for president. She is 80 years old.
Gotcha.
She's the one who Bill O'Reilly was just like, why is she wearing that James Brown wig?
Oh.
Yeah. And that's
can't say that, though.
You cannot. Absolutely. You cannot say that, which is, you know, he was promptly let go later on down the road. But that's who she is.
Right.
That's who everybody associates her with. So when you see her out in public, she held a presidential rally to try to pre-presidential rally to get. She was like, I am the grandma for the millennials. The millennials love me. 14 people showed up.
Sure.
But they keep giving her camera time over and over again on CNN. And she said to go after these people. She said, if you see a Republican in a restaurant, go after him. And it was just like,
oh my God.
And Trump replied. He said, hey, Maxine, you should be real careful here, because if we ordered our people, you know, or our supporters to show up at your restaurants, it would be fucking chaos.
Yeah.
So that's a real slippery slope there. But this is what we've come to. The cover of the LA Times this morning was surprising. And it just said the resistant movement has gone too far. I mean, pulling people out of restaurants and all this other shit. And it's like this celebrity rhetoric is just amping up just click by click. And you can feel it every day where you're just like, man, you're getting real close to razor's edge here, just losing your fucking mind.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of crazy.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be. But something is going to happen out in public. And something's going to get bad here. Because what I didn't realize is we're only 18 months into Trump's term. There's still 2.5 years for these people to have a fucking full-on meltdown.
I can't handle it.
And it's coming for them. It's coming for them. The other thing that was awesome was the other day we talked about who do we trust news-wise. And I said ABC News. That's kind of the only thing that I remotely trust. And they try. I will say this. They really try to stay in the middle. They veer a little left, but not too much. And that's pretty much the only primetime news you can watch. And they also sent crews down to the border to see what was happening and to kind of show the audience of like what it's really like, what's going on. And even that was fucking crazy last night. Absolutely crazy. So I'm watching it last night. I'm on the treadmill at the gymnasium.
Sure.
Working out my body, wailing on my pecs and my quads. Yeah. I'm kidding. I was on the treadmill.
Walking on an incline.
Yeah. Walking on a 3.0 incline, just trying to burn enough calories to get through the fucking day.
I had some weights on my legs and my wrists.
Jesus Christ. I haven't gone there yet, but we're getting close. And I'm watching it and we're live from the border and we got this footage and they're going out with ICE and some border patrol on camera. They caught a fucking smuggler smuggling people into the country. I was just like, Oh man.
Did they not want that?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think they did, but the fact that you send one camera crew out and on your first hour of shooting, you catch a smuggler and dropping off people into the country. And he's explaining it, like the ICE guy is explaining it in real time, where he's just like, see, now he's going to take this boat back across over to Mexico. And he's like, there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
Like they're in the middle of the river. Now they're not. And there's absolutely That's nothing it. We can do. And he goes, this is our job all day long. But to see it live on ABC News last night, I was like, holy shit.
Right.
Also, we should be like, after watching that story on ABC News, I was like, we should be paying those guys way more money because it looks fucking dangerous shit.
Right.
Where you don't know who the fuck's hopping out of a boat. And it was one of those like, it looked like a blow up raft, but it had a motor on it. And you're like, man, did you just add a motor to a blow up raft? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, shit. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like, whoa, the fuck?
Yeah.
You don't know who the fuck's hopping out of that shit. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy to see. But look, good on them, too, for going down there and showing it. Because they could have nuked that footage, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know goddamn well CNN sent a camera crew down there. They would have nuked that footage altogether. Mm-mm. And just found, you know, separated.
You'd find it later, like on somebody's cell phone.
Separated a kid from their family and just shot that for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was crazy to see, where I was just like, holy shit.
Like they're actually reporting it.
Yeah. 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 I couldn't believe it.
I think now they have to. There's too many, you know, numbers out there that are real. Like,
I guess
that it's only like 350 out of 2,700 that are actually because of, you know,
right.
this separation and not other issues that have been going on forever and all of that, where they're just like, they can't really hide from it anymore.
Right.
When the New York Times is reporting it, they can't hide anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like they've clearly tried all they could to turn it in a certain direction. And then it's just like, oh, fuck. All right. I guess we got to report this shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you listen to their podcast, right?
Yeah. So I listen to The Daily, which I told you is there. It seems like they're trying to go both ways, where they'll praise things that Trump does and then they'll like, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
They'll like really go into how, you know, they're misreporting, how other people are misreporting on things that Trump is doing. And I like that. But I think it's very recent that they're trying to do that.
Right.
So yeah, I think once they started being like, well, I think these numbers are a little bit
skewed.
And I think they're using numbers from, again, 2014.
Yeah,
and these are things that have been going. So once they have to go there, then you know that everyone else has to, you just have to. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah. It
sucks that there is a small percentage of the kids that have been ripped from, like literally ripped out of, you know,
right,
their mom's hands. It's a very, very small percentage, and there should be 0%. That is horrible. But I think the reason that we're able to be like, what the fuck, is because it's not reported in that way.
Well,
and so you get pissed off about it. So it's like, it's not okay. You know what I mean? It's not okay.
The other thing that's
it's just
again, when we rerun this interview with Rocco about being in the Border Patrol, is he said a lot of these times the kids are coming by themselves.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying, is the large
percentage
the parents
are throwing them
that.
Over.
Yes.
So once they're in, and he explained it, he said once they're in, then they can get their families in. So they're a lot of these right. families are sending their kids alone. So
yes.
it's not as if they're detached from their families. The family sent them by themselves.
Yes. And that, like I said, that's a large percentage of what's happening. And then there's a
yeah.
very, very small percentage that these people are getting outraged about, which, like we said, you know, rightfully so, you shouldn't. I don't care what you did.
The other interesting fact that he said last night that we were talking about was it was reported that only 30% of people that were actually crossing the border to come into this country illegally were Mexicans.
The
70% mm-hmm. was he
like
said
Guatemala,
it was yes
and,
yeah,
yeah
he
yeah.
specifically said Guatemala and
they're seeking asylum from there, like we were saying. Mexico, you don't need to seek asylum from Mexico, like give me a fucking break.
But Guatemala,
I'm not sure. I can't really now, speak to that. I've been
El
there,
Salvador,
and it's very dangerous.
Yeah. But El Salvador, but there's nothing to seek political asylum from. You're not in a dictatorship. You're not in a communist country. El Salvador was different. They had some type of uprising or revolution or something. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, genuine asylum seeking and all of that shit. You know, and the Obama policy of that, you know, wet foot, dry foot, if you come over from Cuba, you know, if you reach U.S. soil, you're automatically a citizen because you're running from a communist country. Very quietly, he ended that on with a week left in his presidency.
Really?
Yeah. Obama
did. That one I like only because it's like
if you can make it from Cuba.
Do you know what I mean? Like that isn't that like one of the craziest fucking journeys?
It is. It is.
The way that they're doing it and stuff.
But
like
with the technology and everything that's going on today, it's like, dude, you can get in a cigarette boat and be here and, you know, real quick.
Oh, okay. I think at the time.
Now, if you're swimming or taking a raft, boy, you've earned
it. I say, come here.
Yeah.
I'll give you a blanket. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, something had to be going on.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And asylum is such a, there's so many different things that they're able to claim. So that one's a difficult one too. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing that's crazy that I saw yesterday was Donald Glover. Being charged with plagiarism for This Is America. This Is America.
Right.
Usually, you know, these, I try to give musicians the benefit of the doubt because it's a lot like the movie industry where you'll have these frivolous lawsuits and somebody will come out of the fucking depths of wherever to try to gain something off of your success. So I try to, in this, look, we get sued in movies all the time. Musicians get sued all the time. And sometimes it doesn't go your way in music wise. In the case of Ed Sheeran, you know, he's lost, I think, two or three plagiarism suits in the last 2 years. One was to Tom Petty.
That's crazy, though.
Crazy. And
it has to be really, really similar for...
You know, I listened to that case, the case of the Ed Sheeran Tom Petty thing, and I didn't hear it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just, he had done an interview that said, who were your inspirations during this album? This album's great, blah, blah, blah. And he had said Tom Petty, and I've been listening to a lot of Tom Petty these days and blah, blah, blah. Somebody in Tom Petty's camp heard it, and then they played this album, and then they filed this lawsuit, and it is what it is. To me, if you play the songs next to each other, they don't sound similar.
It's not like Vanilla Ice Under Pressure.
Exactly. Like that was like, Jesus Christ,
that was,
man,
the classic, like,
yeah,
you what?
You did, because it sounds identical to Under Pressure.
No. Remember that interview?
Oh, yeah.
No. I changed it. So his goes dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. And mine goes dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just like this classic clip, and that's really what Vanilla.
Vanilla. I like how you're on a one-name basis with him. A first-name basis with Vanilla Ice.
I just call him Vanilla, but go ahead.
Vanilla. But in this one, this Donald Glover one for This Is America, there was a rapper named Jace Harley. And if you haven't heard of him, it's not a surprise. There's a lot of people out there in the world that you don't hear about, that their shit gets stolen, and that's it. So he wrote a song called American Pharoah, and they played them side by side on TMZ yesterday, and fuck, man.
Bad.
Yeah. Like that one's too similar where
Glover,
you're like, you did
and
this.
I think even if Glover was like, hey, I've been listening to this guy, blah, 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 like he's awesome and like...
I don't,
but he didn't say shit.
But here's the thing. I don't necessarily know that it's him. Because for rap in particular, and having done fucking, you know, 10 comedic rap songs, you choose a beat, it's pre-made, and then you build your rap off of that. He's paying producers, so he has a team of producers. So when he shows up at the studio, they're probably playing him. And this is no lie, for any album in general, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 400 beats. and then you gravitate towards one thing, and the producers get paid if you choose their beat.
Gotcha.
So it could have been a case of this. However, the lyrics of This Is America and American Pharoah by this other guy are also very similar. Where you're like, yeah. Because he's saying, I'm an American Pharoah.
When you go lyrics.
Yeah. And this, to me, this one's way too close. The guy thus far has been cool about it. Where, you know, he said, look, man, it's all love. I appreciate that I inspired somebody else. And if you want to throw me a shout out, that's great. But he said, he was like, dude, the day that that song came out, all of my friends literally hit me up and were like, hey, man, this is your fucking song. And I looked up this guy on Instagram. Like, the dude is just like an artist, a normal, cool dude. And and he so far, as of this week,
we'll see,
has not sued or asked for any money, but I have a feeling someone out there is going to be like, hey man, you know how much this song made and what a gigantic hit this is? We're gonna go ahead and sue this up for you. Because the last time this happened, the more recent one, was Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Yes.
The Marvin Gaye family sued because it sounded too similar to one of the Marvin Gaye songs. And
did you listen to that one?
I did not.
Okay.
But it was in court for, all these things are in court for 2.5
and
years.
And he lost.
He lost.
Yeah.
And he lost the appeal. So he just lost the appeal a couple weeks ago. So that's over. That's done. And, you know, all the gajillion dollars, a big chunk of that's going to the Marvin Gaye family. I have a sneaky suspicion someone's going to file a lawsuit on this, and This Is America will be split in half with this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, once somebody gets in his ear, and there's the gotta be lawyers calling him, right? Hey, man.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is a no-brainer.
The sharks are out, and I guarantee you this Jace Harley guy,
I think
his
should.
Phone was ringing off the hook.
I think he should.
Yeah.
God damn, make a little bit of money off your song.
Or, like other artists, if you like a song that is already out there, why not buy it off of them?
Yeah.
Beyonce did this. I remember one of my old best friend's girlfriends wrote If I Were a Boy.
Mm-hmm.
She recorded it, played it acoustically, put a video of herself playing it up on YouTube. Beyonce or her people found this song and bought it out from her, and gave her a big chunk of change for it.
Sure.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
And you were like, all right, great. If you're going to take an unknown artist's song like this, because my friend was completely unknown, and I'm talking,
then why,
like,
not pay them a little bit so you don't have to pay them a fucking shitload?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Do it right.
Yeah.
They agree on a number, you agree on a number, and you move on.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, Beyonce did this, and she benefited. My friend benefited. Like,
sure.
It's fucking great all the way around.
That sounds like the right way to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with this, you know, fuck, man, that's going to be a tough one to me.
I would say Glover didn't know, right? So you're saying, like, his people came to him with it. I'd be surprised.
So I would say he didn't, but then listening to the lyrics, unless they wrote the song for him too.
You never know.
You don't really know.
Dude.
And because it's such a hidden thing with writing music, and nobody wants to talk about it. And it's one of those things, especially in hip hop, where you get killed for having a ghostwriter or a writer on some of your songs. Drake endlessly gets killed for having ghostwriters, which to me is unfair, because if you're trying to create the best art you can, be it music or movies, it takes a fucking village of people, man. Like, all these movies you see in the theaters, chances are there was 10 to 12 writers that were involved at some point. It wasn't just, you know, one person.
I know. It just sucks that there has to be just one face of it, because people still don't understand that it takes a village to do anything.
Totally.
They give one person credit for everything.
And the thing about it is, why wouldn't you want to give credit to these people? And and just create the best art and music you possibly can. So I don't know if Donald Glover writes his own music. I don't know. The only person who's come forward and says, hey, I use writers all the time is Kanye. Kanye did a huge piece with the New York Times about 2 or 3 days ago. And he addressed the issue head on because there was that Drake diss track of, you know, I used to, because Drake was saying he used to ghostwrite for Kanye and he did some things on this new album. Kanye said, yeah, man, he did. And there's no ghostwriting behind it. And he goes, I will listen to songs and music and my favorite songs that I think have great lines in them by writers. And I will immediately pick up the phone and fucking call these people out to come and write with me.
Yeah, well, Kanye's more of like a producer or like a purveyor of taste, right? Like he's just like, I find people that are rad and I make their shit, right?
Yeah.
But he's always kind of been.
In order to make the greatest music, why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't you?
That's what I would do. Fuck. Hire as many writers as you can. Just try to make the best music there is. No one out there at home who's dancing or playing your music in a car is going to give a fuck who wrote the song. They just care that it's a great song. Exactly. Same with a movie. And this was always my biggest problem, and it still is to this day on set, where it's like people are like, oh man, my job was more important than this other person's job on set and, you know, crew wise and all that stuff. And it's like, hey man, no one fucking cares. There is not one audience member at home that is thinking about, oh, I wonder what the crew went through to shoot that shot. Mm-hmm. And if you think that I'm being unfair to the crew, I'm not. Most of the time, people don't give a fuck who the director is. They don't give a fuck who the writer is.
They literally only care who the star.
What's your favorite movie of all time? Moonstruck?
No.
It's something like that, right? What is it? Quick, off the top of your head.
Fine. Let's go with Moonstruck. American Beauty.
Great. American Beauty. Who wrote American Beauty?
Sam Wells?
That's not a human.
It's somebody.
That's not a human on this earth. So,
Sam Wells. Waterwolf.
Now that movie won the Oscar. It won the Oscar. It's your favorite movie, sure. And you don't even know the name of the writer of that. Do you know who directed it?
No.
No, me neither. Because when I was in the theater watching American Beauty, and I watched in the theater.
But yeah.
I watched it, and I was so blown away by the movie itself. I don't fucking care who, like, I don't stay for the credits. I'll stay for the credits if it's an actor or something where I'm like, holy shit.
But then there's things like Eternal Sunshine where like, it's such a specific type of movie,
right,
that you do know the director, right? Michelle Gondry or whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, and I feel like there's still people in the world that like, all credit is given to like the star and the co-star, almost like they made the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really how much weight is put on them. Do you know what I mean? If it's bad, it's their fault.
Yeah.
If it's great, it's because of them.
Exactly.
It's not that like the writing was horrible or the director wouldn't let them do, you know what I mean? Or took the cut that was like the shittiest. So the editor, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it really is just like Stallone. It's just him.
Yeah.
He's doing everything.
Exactly.
He's moving the lights.
Wow.
Stallone is actually writing and directing, but Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Spacey is moving the lights around himself.
That whole fucking conversation is just endlessly like tiresome with crew, because I'll have crew come up to me and be like, you know, so and so actor is a fucking asshole or he's asking for water or whatever the fuck it is, and I'm like, well, get it for him, because when the movie's in the theaters,
all they're gonna care about is that person.
Yep. They don't care about you or your job or that you killed yourself for 15 hours a day, and that's sad to say, but that is the truth. And I learned that harsh lesson a long, long time ago, where I was just like, all right, great. We've got to put the focus on these motherfuckers. And this is why you see so much bullshit out of actors.
Why is the actor going on like serious like interviews and talking about the movie? Do you know what I mean? Like, the director and the writer should always be the ones that are going
to
give.
No one wants to see
no
them.
No one wants to see them.
No one wants and to no have these interviews.
And no one wants to hear about, you know, sometimes, like I said, there's a few that have made it to a status.
Sure.
Where you want to hear them over the main actor, but it's very, very few.
Yeah.
And they've had to have done it for years.
But shout out to Kanye for coming out and doing that article and just saying, hey, man, kind of exposing it for what it really is and treating it. The way this article is in the New York Times, and if you get a chance to read it, if you're a fan of hip hop or just art, I recommend it. He treats it like a movie. So he's treating these albums like a movie where it's like he's hiring the best team of people to create, you know, one thing that is essentially like a movie, like an album where he's just like, great. And he broke it down like on specific verses of like, yeah, Drake wrote the hook in Yikes, like his number one hit song. And he's just like, so-and-so wrote this other line. So-and-so wrote this other line. I mean, he said them by name for like, I mean, he was calling out lines and songs where you're just like, Jesus, man, that's dope. And he was just like, yeah, man. He goes, you know, we get all these. He goes, I hire all these people. I fly them out to, in this case, Wyoming. And we have, you know, the beat, the structure, everything is down. The cadence of what I want my voice to do to match this beat is there. Now we're just trying to find the best lines that match up to make this song the best. And it's, you know, he's saying, fuck, in this article, there's 8 to 12 people per song trying to figure out what is sonically the best and lyrically the best. And I like that. Because all I want is hits. I don't give a shit who wrote them. Fucking just drop bangers all goddamn day. What's the shame in that is what I never understood.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the greatest hip-hop artist of all time, to me, you know, look, people will say like Sugar Hill Gang and all that other shit. The thing that really broke it out in a mainstream was N.W.A., where it just kind of exploded, where I was just like, holy shit. It was no longer like hip hop was where you lived anymore. It was just, oh, fuck, this is mainstream shit. And they're kicking down doors and doing all their shit. Ice Cube was the ghostwriter for Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, all that stuff. Like he wrote all of that music. And you don't care. Nobody cared because it was great music. So you just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, that whole band, I guess, was Dr. Dre and Ice Cube. So writing and then
producing. Yeah,
so he did all the producing and everything.
Eazy-E had a great voice.
Sure, but you just kind of put him up there and like, but.
And he was saying it over and over again, line by line, and it was already written and they made great music. So what is the shame in that? Is what I can't figure out. And like with this Is America thing, like if they did jack this guy's song, why not just call him and buy it and say, yeah, man, this guy did something cool. Nobody saw it. So I'm going to make it better. Because it is, look, if you listen to the two songs side by side, This Is America is definitely fucking awesome and rad.
Totally.
And it is way better than this other guy's song. However, when you hear this other guy's song, you'll be like, oh, fuck. Yeah. All right. And same with If I Were a Boy. Google that or go to YouTube and watch it. Watch the original. The girl who was my friend, her name was BC Jean. She wrote that song and performed it on YouTube. And it's still up. So you'll get to see what it was in its original form. And she's a great person. But
she married to somebody.
Yes, the guy from Dancing with the Stars. Now she was dating my friend for fucking years. But anyways, if you go and check out this track, it is good, but not Beyonce good.
Sure.
And it's like
it's different, right? It's just a completely different. It's just an acoustic.
Yeah. And it's good. She's a decent singer and all that stuff. But she's not Beyonce.
Yeah, it's very
Beyonce
rare.
Beyonce's Beyonce,
but still Beyonce needs to have people help her with writing because you cannot.
Yeah.
It's so impossible to be absolutely amazing at every single thing.
Yeah.
Dancing, singing,
you
know, like styling a fucking video.
All of it.
Choreograph. Like you cannot be good at everything. So why not? Like,
but also she's trying to find the most hits that she could possibly put out for the world. And I know what BC got paid for that song and it was real good. So
sure.
Beyonce took
she
care of her.
She was happy.
Oh, everybody all the way around was extremely happy.
But that's what it should be. So Glover needs to
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see how this all shakes out. My guess is there will be lawyers. This will be public, and
there may be blood.
Yeah, there will be blood. Bone dry.
Bone dry.
Bone dry.
He's gonna. Yeah.
DDL.
It's like I'm bone dry.
It's time for that point in the show where we get to the revolutionary figure of the day, shall we?
We shall.
This one is going out to somebody who is near and dear to your heart. Talking about Samuel
Mendes.
Alexander Mendes, James. Sam Mendes.
Mendes!
Yeah.
I like was so close though, right?
He is the director of American Beauty.
Damn it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn it. He was with that Kate Winslet. That's the only reason I knew his name.
Yeah. Yeah. he.
That's sad.
That they get divorced? Or?
No, that's the only reason that I would know the name
exactly.
of my
Because
of
he's
the
married
of my...
to a mm-hmm, famous fucking mm-hmm. actress.
To an actress yep. that made the whole movie herself. In Titanic, she made that boat.
Oh, boy. So in case you don't know, Sam Mendes out there, he directed American Beauty. He directed Road to Perdition. He directed Jarhead. He directed Revolutionary Road.
Yes.
Directed Skyfall. Directed Spectre. I mean.
And still, I didn't know his fucking
No. And he's one of the biggest
God
directors of all time.
That's not saying
you
much.
Don't know his name.
I don't know anyone.
You don't know
I'm
his
not
name.
Not good at anything, but
James. And but that's the world. That is the world, and that's what's going on. So I don't fault you for it because I didn't know either.
Sure.
I didn't know the writer, and all I do is write every goddamn day, and it's the writer's Alan Ball.
I know. Yeah.
Alan Ball's one of the biggest
Ball?
Writers of all time. And I still...
I said Ball. No, yeah. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
In my mind. In my mind, I knew it was something like that.
You didn't. And it's just, you know, fuck
Ball's,
that.
Ball's written a couple of things, huh?
Ah, couple. I'll briefly touch on what he's done. Creator.
Sure.
And writer of True Blood.
Oh, boy.
Tiny show. Did nothing.
No biz.
Did anybody watch that? Probably not. Totally kidding. Another show he created and wrote, 6 Feet Under. Heard of it?
Ah, yes.
No. Nah, there you go.
Yes.
American Beauty. Used to be a writer for Sybil, Grace Under Fire. So, yeah.
Oh, I loved me some Grace Under Fire. Now that is a deb.
He's now the executive producer of Banshee. There's a fucking weird segment who loved that show, by the way.
Sure.
And then Here and Now, he does now. But yeah, well, again, one of the biggest of all time. Don't know it. Don't know their names. So shining a little light on these guys today.
Yeah. Doing your part.
And again, man, I'll give props to Lena Dunham for going down there and actually attempting to make a difference and helping getting your
getting
voice.
Getting dirty, getting hot, yeah. Getting sweaty, sacrificing some money, some time.
Because look, man, that I've been down to where she's been at. What do you think? It was probably 115.
For sure.
In the shade, maybe?
For sure. No shade.
No.
There was no shade.
None.
By the way.
You can't, because there's no trees down there.
Ooh.
So it's like, good luck.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, look, kudos to them. I shit on you all the time. Still not a fan of your whole shit. But
we're a fan of putting your money where your mouth
absolutely.
is.
Absolutely.
No matter what you're doing.
I respect the celebrities who did go down there.
Because we sure as shit didn't.
Yeah. Well, no, because I don't. I thought everything that I thought was going on and happening, and once I talked to the Rocco from the Border Patrol, it was exactly what I have been talking about. And again, we'll cross over that episode next week. It'll be on Drinking Bros Podcast tomorrow. Japes.
Yeah.
I found myself at 8 a.m. this morning.
Look at you. He's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a way to start the day, huh?
Boom. I feel like I can conquer the world. That's terrible.
Just a bit of coffee.
It's fucking terrible.
Talking to some friends. You're a regular Hoda.
I really am.
You're a regular Hoda and Kathy Lee.
And I need to be praised as such.
All right.
So when I come up to the studio, I would like a nice huge goblet of white wine, just like Hoda and Kathy Lee at 7 in the morning.
I'll take a warm red.
Oh, God. I could do a cold white this early.
A cold white, yeah. I would love a little bubbly.
Yeah.
I could do a bubbly. I could do a spritzer. I could do a glass bottom boat.
Take yourself to, oh, God.
And there we go. Yep. That's why we are not Kathy Lee and Hoda, and we never will be on NBC.
No, you can definitely not talk about a glass bottom boating people on.
I would talk about it, but just as if it's a real glass bottom boat. Gosh, I saw great things.
I'm going to have to name this episode The Glass Bottom Bones at this point. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.